Hey, does your marketing effort include asking questions? Well, I sure hope it does, because when you ask questions, you provide a better service and product to your patients and members. We thought we'd take this one step further. In our updated software, Trust Driven Care, which you can check out at trustdrivencare.com, we added in a whole survey module. Now, why did we add this in? Well, over the last 5 years, surveys have become wildly popular as a great way to get information from prospective clients and even current clients. You can ask surveys about how are we doing? What exercises do you like the most? You can even send a survey a year after somebody got discharged to ask them what they remember about your office. Those things can help refine and build your marketing efforts. They can also help refine and build your customer service efforts. But we thought they were so important, we added an entire module of surveys to our software. Based on the questions, automation can happen. Based on the answers they give, you can send them access to a course, or you could send that person into a different website, or you could automatically register a task for somebody to reach out to them and call them. Let's say if they weren't satisfied or their back still hurts, give them a call. But surveys are so powerful, and that's one of the new features that we added to Trust Driven Care. Check it out at trustdrivencare.com. Hey, welcome to Clinic Gym Radio. I am so glad you're here. It is our goal to help 10,000 offices build into a clinic gym. Why? It's the best version of musculoskeletal care, and it's the only version that's perfectly in line with the evidence. The word exercise comes up more than any other word in the research, so let's implement that. And this interview was built to help you understand how to do that. Let's jump in. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another exciting episode of Clinic Gym Radio. I am your host, as always, Dr. Josh Satterley, and I'm excited today to be joined by Coach Lee Kara. Lee, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. I wanted to have you on because you and I met at a conference, I guess, a little over a year ago, actually, and you specialize in kind of putting together online courses and communities for people outside of healthcare, but I personally think that this is going to be something that's going to infiltrate healthcare soon, is these expert level, you know, courses and communities and everything. And I really enjoyed our conversation at that great breakfast restaurant. And I wanted to kind of bring that to the audience to talk about these things, because, you know, one of the worst things that happens is a great idea comes into an industry and then all the shysters get involved and it loses its impact and it loses its value and stuff. So I was hoping you could kind of guide us through some things about the idea of online courses and communities. And I guess probably the best place is, can you start with a little bit of background on how you ended up on this subject?
Definitely. So I've been building in-person communities, both paraprofessionally and as a professional, since 2007. Various capacities in psychology, higher education, and now in digital marketing. So communities is incredibly important to me personally, and I believe it's the wave of the future for businesses in general. So
nice. And so when we're talking about, let's just do some early definitions here. In my mind, and I'm going to come at you like I think most of my listeners are going to come at you. So if there's something that maybe you need to shape my thinking of it or correct me, totally cool. What I see is a lot of healthcare providers or people that, you know, maybe coaching at a fitness center or something, or they own a gym, they might put together an online course. And that people might not call it that, but what I'm saying is some video recordings that are pushed through a platform like Kajabi or Thinkific or something like that. And then they're either giving those to people as part of their membership or they're selling those. Do I have the term right? Would you call that an online course, or is there a better definition?
I think it depends. I think the difference in my mind between a course and a community is the repeated engageability. So for instance, a course is, when I think of a course, I think of you show up, you have a semester with someone, you go through the training, and then you walk away, your life is done, your life with them is done, your experience is over. To me, a community is much more a recurring engagement piece. And I think in terms of a business, for example, a gym, it has the ability to keep your users engaged. So it's a way that you as the business owner can bring in more repeat income while delivering the same process, because you're oftentimes having your members ask questions like in an online portal or even in an in-person class, and that becomes part of the engagement.
Okay. So that
So a course may just be information, whereas a community is kind of the involvement. It may have the educational aspects, but it also has some involvement by the team, the founder, the person with the message, blah, blah, blah. So if I were, you know, we have somebody reached out to me. The whole reason I want to record this is there's a listener who does a lot of work in the world of pelvic health, pelvic floor health, and a lot of prenatal and postpartum kind of treatment of people as they want to exercise. So she has a clinic and a gym, and most of that is full of people who, women who are either working out while pregnant, so they have some nervousness around that and make sure they're doing the right things, or they delivered their kid and it's probably that first 1 to 2 years after childbirth where, how would I say it? Things, not necessarily there's issues, but just things are a little bit different and maybe don't work the same as they used to. And getting some expert input there to solve some problems. So in that sense, a course would just be some pre-recorded info. But if she was in there and saying, hey, here's some education about the most common things, and then we're hopping on every Wednesday from noon to two to talk about your specific issues, that would be more community-based. Is that right?
Exactly. I think that's a clear way to understand it. And I think the other piece that I would add is that a community is the one-to-many format. So it's the educator to multiple users at once instead of having to do repeated one-on-one calls answering the same 100 questions.
Okay. Very cool. So for a business, you know, I wrote in our list of questions here, I said kind of like, what do courses and communities, what's the problem they solve? But I guess the question I want to ask there is, what's the advantage of this type of model within a business or a group, right? I'm going to say a business because most of the people listening here have a clinic and or gym. But I mean, it wouldn't be any different if you were doing something just, you know, if your mother's against drunk driving or something, you want to have some info and some support there. But what's the problem that that courses and communities really solve from what you're seeing in on your side of the desk?
I think the main thing is it builds a place of belonging. So for instance, if you are the expert, the coach, the trainer who is providing the community, all of a sudden you aren't just a resource to your team members and your clients. You become a resource for other experts who don't want to offer the service but want to provide the same education to their clients. It's a way to take the one-to-one training we do or education we do and make it a one-to-many format. So you only have to do so much work every week to fulfill on your obligation as the expert. But over time, it's a collection of content. It's a vault of information that you've put out to build your authority.
Yeah, I hope my listeners grab onto what you just said, because most of my listeners are in one-to-one healthcare delivery, right? And if you're a chiropractor, you're treating one patient at a time. Maybe you can shorten the time, but there's no way to do it to 10 people at a time or 100 people at a time. But what you're saying is, once I build the systems and kind of how I'm delivering it, the work for 100 customers is eerily similar to that of 1,000 customers, which is eerily similar to 10,000 customers, right? We're not jumping in magnitude. We're just maybe sending out more emails and maybe answering a few more questions. Is that right?
Definitely. And I think the other piece is user engagement. So oftentimes on my side of the desk, I hear the term user-generated content, meaning I put out something as the educator and users respond and it makes its own flywheel effect of content and engagement. So I only have to do one post, but I might get 150 comments. And so that way, this community all of a sudden has a life of its own. When you've got your users asking questions, you can make, you know, someone who's been in your program for 5 years and is at a different level than a new person, you can make them into kind of a guest expert almost. And then they're putting in content and you don't have to do more.
I like that. Yeah. Yeah. So going back to that, you know, female clinician that's doing the pelvic floor work postpartum, somebody that's gone through her therapy and then learned from her online education and then also participate in the community maybe 2 or 3 years later, says, hey, I've been through the same thing. Let me guide you. I can answer some of the questions. Maybe not all of them. I don't have the same level of expertise, but you know, we do our main thing Wednesdays from 12 to 2, and we'll do a secondary discussion groups on Thursday afternoons or something like that. And now you get a little offload of pressure from the original person, which is probably the owner, and you're also getting a different perspective, right? Like you're not her experience may be a little bit different. She had 4 kids, whereas the owner had 2 kids or something like that. You know, I do like that.
And I think the other piece is the sense of belonging. To me and our business, we really help our clients become the place for their industry. So for instance, if you're a YouTuber and you do, you know, health coaching or life coaching, then you become the place for your community. And then other people can come into your community as guest experts and share the stage, so to speak. But your house is where the party is at. And that creates a sense of ownership from the group members who are highly engaged, highly active, as long as you are rewarding them in some way to make them feel like they're part of this process.
Right. And I think, too, there's a that sense of belonging is also insurance in your marketing that they're not going to go somewhere else. So again, going back to this, if a woman did postpartum and prenatal, if she's gone through that experience, the things that people are sharing in that group will be different than those shared in the generalized low back pain community, right? Which is a very broad group, like could be somebody got it from childbirth, but it could be somebody who works as a landscaper. It could be somebody sitting on their butt as an attorney. It doesn't matter in low back pain. What you're saying is that feeling of belonging and like, hey, the only people in this community are those that have been through this journey. There is some safety and reassurance there. And then if it's like what I'm saying about the insurance in your marketing, like why would they ever leave? Like how many other groups are going to have this kind of insight into that type of condition and the expertise and people that have gone through it and blah, 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 blah. It's like, nobody's going to leave, you know? And so the group will just continue to grow quite well. And there's really no way to compare it, I guess. You can't, they're not going to be like, oh, well, I could just go to this other amazing group full of people who are talking about the prenatal postpartum journey. It's like, those don't exist, right? So I think that's a fantastic insulator and allows us to build those big, healthy businesses as well. And then those communities, I would guess, drive people like, when you get 1,000 people are in your community, they recognize you as an expert in something. So when a conference comes up and they're like, oh, would you speak on this? When advisory boards committees put together, who are they thinking of? Well, probably the person that did the amazing engagement there, right?
Ryan, I think in this day and age, we're not necessarily looked at as a business the same way we might have been 5 or 10 years ago. It used to be, do you have your license? Do you have this up to date? Do you have a business card? Now people are looking, do you have a Facebook following? Do you have a YouTube channel? It's the new way businesses are being judged. So you may have been in the business for 25 years as an expert in your local area, but you may not be invited to speak on a stage because you don't have, you know, 15 million followers on your YouTube channel because you're just starting. So over the next 8 to 10 years, as my little son is growing up, he's going to be having to apply to jobs differently. That's just a feeling I have. It's like, do you have a YouTube channel you started in high school? So as business owners, we need to get up to speed with all of this, and building your own private community is a way to get a head start on that.
Yeah. Can you think of anybody that set a really good example with that model, by the way, so people can kind of see that and be like, oh, that's what so-and-so did. So like, I think there's a very, in the world of internet kind of marketing, there's a woman named Amy Porterfield, and she strikes me as somebody she sells the education, the courses. She's incredibly engaging in her live videos. She does Q&As. She makes everybody feel welcome. And her community is enormous now. It's absolutely enormous. And I don't even know what her core business is anymore, just that she's just engaging and getting people to sign up. But can you think of any other people that have set a good tone that people might look up to?
So in my mind, I'm in very specific marketing communities. That's where I've just been the last couple of years. But one influencer that comes to mind for me is Yoga with Adrienne. She was a YouTube channel 10 or 15 years ago, like right at the beginning of YouTube. She was one of the first people to come on as a health and life coach kind of person. And she has a very big, mighty network community, last I knew. And that, to me, is the virality that all of this has, because she started with just the YouTube channel. Then she moved into a private community. She probably does paid courses. Like it's an ascension model that we can all follow at various capacities. But what I liked about her stuff was it was so specific. Like she would do a 10-day YouTube series on, you know, yoga for beginners. And then she would do one yoga for practitioners, and she'd do one for nightly stress management. And that is how she got people into the community, because they'd come in for the 10-day training and then, oh, I want to stick with this. And
I think a great point to that too is you think about something like yoga. And if you just went to YouTube, how many different people have posted yoga videos, right? And let's even say, if we just scrub it for everybody that's posted over 100 yoga videos, we're probably talking about thousands, maybe tens of thousands of people. But how many of them have built a business and a community that's making them money that they can do things with, we're going to take that down and get much, much lower than that 1,000 or 10,000, right? And like you're saying, she is one of those people that said, hey, I'm doing all this, but now let me do something. I think about, like, in some regard, my friend used to say, like, it's like somebody making cookies but doesn't have an oven. Like, you're not ever getting the finished product, right? Like, you're not adding heat to it and getting that change. And that's what she was able to do versus all those other people that posted random videos. People listening to this, if you have a clinic or a gym, there are tons of chiropractors that have posted videos, tons of physical therapists post videos. Certainly the fitness industry, holy Moses, is inundated and prolific with the number of posts. But how many of those people have taken it and really made, are getting paid a decent wage, you know, as part of their community? And really the workload is not significantly more from what you've told me, right? Like, it's just making sure you focus your energy in the right areas. Do I have that right?
Yeah. And I think the piece is, like, obviously one of the questions you asked me is what's the difference between a single video, for instance, on YouTube versus a course versus a community. And I think the difference is the strategy behind it. I think a lot of people, when they're starting their YouTube journey, they just post whatever they want to get used to being on camera and get past the camera shyness. But once you start putting any kind of content strategy in place, so, you know, we have a particular process we use to help people build out their communities. It's, you know, we do a lot of the work. It's pretty easy for the user, but there's a strategy in play. So from the very first video you post or the very first community post, there's a customer journey that we're hoping to walk somebody through. And I think that strategy is what is different, because each customer needs 7 to 14 touch points before they really are comfortable buying from you. And so even if you're offering a new product, there needs to be enough pieces of the puzzle for them to actually feel comfortable purchasing something. So one video doesn't do it anymore.
Right. And I think the other side of that coin too is, after talking to you a couple times, I have a sense that some people are like, oh, I don't want to be another person talking about yoga, right? There's so many people already talking about yoga. There's so many people doing these videos and there's so many people doing XYZ. And it's like, yes, but there's a big difference between how many people are posting videos and how many people are truly engaging people interested in that in a conversation and they're by a community, right? And like you said, it was the yoga by Adrian or whatever. But I think about all the chiropractors I see, like, there's so many posting about what I think are like, oh, this is an interesting video, this is good information, but they're not trying to engage me in some conversation, right? It's just like, yeah, cool, it's nice. And I'm like, wow, what you kind of coached me up on is there's a huge opportunity there. And if you grab onto that opportunity, nothing is saturated. No market is saturated, because the conversation and support you'll offer within yoga or within childbirth or within, you know, any of these divisions is so incredibly different, and it's specific to people, and people like people, right? They'll find their voices and whatnot. So that excited me too, because it's like, if you look on YouTube, you think, oh, there's no way you could talk about anything new. And I think what you're saying is you don't need to. You just need to talk about stuff with a group of people who are new or interested.
I think that's the exciting part of, like, the community idea in general, is that I may post about marketing, you may post about marketing, but the message we send to our viewers, our users, is going to be vastly different because of our background, our education, our training, our experience. So I think there are some niches that have, like, more videos that have been produced. For instance, the fitness niche, like, there's so many. But if you come in with a strategy behind any of the content you put out to be an expert, to be an authority in your niche from the beginning, that's how your videos start ranking. And obviously there's techniques you can use to rank a video and, you know, use SEO to build more traffic to your community, which is all the marketing piece. But really, you as the expert have a unique process or voice that's going to draw your clients in. Mm-hmm. It's about having enough volume behind the message for people to find it through the noise of the internet.
Yeah. So let's dive in there a little bit. If somebody's, like, looking to get started in this, I might go out of order on our questions here, because just where our conversation is. But number one, when we're talking online courses, if anybody listening, what are some of the most common platforms? Like, I think I mentioned Kajabi and Thinkific before. What would be another common course platform? And then I want to talk about the community platform, so people might be able to separate it with which software have I used, but what's a course platform?
So the course platforms I always think of are Thinkific, Kajabi, Udemy technically would be a course platform, any of those Skillshare sites.
Okay.
But those work differently than, for instance, something like Mighty Network or School, which are the two biggest, and Circle.io, I think, is one too, for communities.
So the communities is School, Circle.io, and what was the third one? Mighty Network?
Yes.
Okay. So if you've logged into any of those platforms or got an email that says like powered by, that you're in a community more. And that's great. Okay. So let's talk about, let's move into talking about a community, because what to me, what you're saying is if you engage people in regular conversation, Q&A, stuff like that, you can always add on education to that. But, and that works really well, but the opposite is not really true, right? You can't just like have a bunch of education and then on those platforms go like, let's engage people in questions, because they don't foster that type of interaction. Am I right there?
I think the difference is what is the focus of the software. So for instance, I haven't used Kajabi myself. We've always gone a different route. But from what I understand, it's very much people get a video, they get a login link, they get access, but there's no member-to-member communication. It's not the focus of the site. And I think that's where the power of having more of a community-style product is, that you don't have to do all the content creation. You can have people asking questions as long as you set it up as the admin, that's a possibility. You know, you can have a school community where people can't post, they can't interact if you just turn the setting off. But that engagement is what allows the community to consistently grow, because it's like, oh, I got value from this. Now I'm going to bring in my three friends.
Right. And the other thing that I see too, whenever I do like interaction or teach a course and stuff, the questions that come across give me the seeds for the next talk or the next presentation. Because so many times as a chiro, like I was talking to a group of attorneys maybe last week or the week before, and I thought I had made it as basic and simple as possible. And then they ask a question, I realize, shoot, I'm still teaching like college level things to a group because they don't have biology degrees. And I'm used to being in rooms where everybody has a kinesiology degree or biology or whatever. And I'm like, oh yeah, everybody remembers osteochondritis, right? And these guys are like, I've never heard that term. I'm like, of course you wouldn't, because you're an attorney, right? And so that interaction also makes content production so much easier, because the people just tell you, hey, can you explain the difference between, you know, in this case it was, they asked me, can you just describe the difference between a medial branch block and where it gets its name and a epidural steroid injection? And I don't do any of those procedures, but you know how it is, Lee. I was like, yeah, of course, the medial branch block is blocking the medial branch of the dorsal nerve root. Like, everybody knows that, which is my joke. Nobody knows that. I was like being super nerdy about it, you know, but it was just amazing to have them kind of correct me. And I'm like, oh, I could do a whole presentation next time on this stuff you just asked me. So it does make content production easier. Go ahead.
That's my favorite way to make content. And this is a strategy I've been starting to use more regularly since the fall, is answering specific questions. And I get this from one of the YouTube coaches I work with. But the idea is, because you are the expert, you are 10, 20, 30 steps ahead of your audience. If you can go back to those very first questions you came up with or that you get asked all the time, you don't have to do any research on content. You just have to find a way to answer those questions. And that's
where
a course comes in, because you can pre-record the answers to the first 100 questions new clients ask you, and then you don't have to answer it again. You send them a link to the course.
Well, I mean, I saw this in the interaction you and I had. I was like, hey, in our course area, how do I change this color of this header? And you sent me like a built out handout, a guide, step-by-step guide or whatever. And I laughed because the question I asked was question number 11 or answer number 11, right? And I was like, to me, the question I was asking could have been its own handout. And to you, it was like, yeah, that's step number 11 of 12 or whatever. And I think to you, like, this is basic stuff. And I'm like dying, you know, looking all over the internet for the answer. It was just a good lesson to me. Yeah.
And I think that's what people don't really think about. When they think of building a course, they're worried about the video quality and the background they have. But really what's important is the answers to the questions you provide. Giving your customers a journey from where they're at, you know, what the pain or the problem or the issue they have, to going through your, you know, 6 videos, 8 videos, 12 videos, and getting the answer to that solution. And that's where the reverse engineering the process comes in, whether it's a course build, a product build, or, you know, a community.
Yeah. Yeah, I work with a lot of golfers, and we always focused a long time on how far they hit the ball, driving distance called, right? And I talk about when I asked them, they were like, yeah, do you have any stretches that'll increase my consistency? Which is a term that they want to hit the same shot over and over, right? And just focusing on that. Now, the stretches you would give somebody to increase the distance off the tee are eerily similar, nearly identical to the ones you'd give them for consistency, right? But if you just label it different, they're like, whoa, it's a breakthrough. I'm like, I kind of gave you those before, but whatever, man, you know? So it is funny how people perceive that to be so different sometimes.
And that's really my thought on communities, is it's about giving people the achievement or the goal or the outcome that's going to solve the reason they're there. Because when you can, you know, if they're a new customer, they're trying your course for the first time, or they've joined your community for a monthly payment, as long as they're getting results, A, they're going to share your services with their friends who have the same problem. They're going to post about it on social media, which takes your content outside your circle, your immediate circle of connections, into a whole new place where you can advertise.
Without having to buy ads to do it, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are your tips around building a community? So let's say I'm a healthcare provider, chiropractor, physical therapist, somebody, and I want to talk, let's just use my example, I want to talk about pelvic floor health and postpartum and prenatal women. And so I kind of have my niche identified, essentially. It's going to be women roughly between the age of whatever, 22 to 35, right? Maybe as high as 40. And I kind of know why they're interested, and I start talking to them. First off, how often should somebody, if they're going to go down this path, how often should they be putting out content, right? From what you see right now. And then second question, how often should they be engaging everybody? So in my mind, I think, well, if you're just doing like a live Q&A once every 2 months, I don't feel like you're really building an engagement audience there. But I can't expect you to do it twice a day every day. That's just an unachievable goal as well. What are your kind of, maybe brackets would be the best term, because I'm sure there's a lot of variability.
I think the thing I've always been told is what works for you. So the best example I have is there's a YouTube channel. It's this guy does one video a year, but he spends all year in the production and the history, because it's a history type of video. So he does these big productions where he has actors and all of this to reenact pieces of history. So he posts a video once a year, and his community waits all year talking about the previous years he's done, the previous things, and like, what's he going to pull out this year? And because he builds up that kind of, you know, mystery around what he's going to post, when he does post it, he gets thousands, millions of views because people have been waiting all year for this. I think that.
But he also took a few years to launch, right? Nobody cares the second year. They're like, well, that guy has one video on his channel. And it's like.
But that's the thing, is that because he has such a production value that it's years, it's a whole year of research to kind of put the play on. That works for him. That's his structure. But I think for those of us who have not necessarily a huge budget to do a huge production every year, it's what you can do. So for instance, if you're working with people every day of the week, you're in your clinic every day, you don't necessarily have time to post on social media. That doesn't mean you can't set time aside to do 1 hour, 2 hours with your community, as long as they know that's what they're expecting. So if they know they're paying for one Q&A call with you a week, you have to show up and do it, right? And I think it doesn't matter if it's one call, five calls, seven calls, 10 calls. If you have a team of, you know, if you, for instance, in a clinic where there's six doctors and you're all contributing something, then you're each going to have a different data post. But it's about your community knowing you're going to show up and you showing up and delivering the value.
Okay. So in the sense of like a healthcare provider, PT, chiro, what would you say? Engaging every other week would be a safe place to start, like if that's what we're promising. I realize like there is no perfect answer, but I'm also thinking if you did it once a month, it's going to take you 6 months to even feel the effects of it, right? Like you're like, oh, people just don't pay attention because they got to get that wheel turning slowly. But what do you think?
I think it depends on how you have it. So for instance, if you're a solopreneur and you're doing the whole thing yourself, the marketing, the copy, the ads, the videos, you're not going to be able to do as much quickly. But the reason my team and I really enjoy what we do is we get to do all that content creation for somebody. We have ways that we create the posts, we schedule out the videos, we do all of that. So you just, as the expert, have to show up and teach however often you want.
Yeah. That's so, what I like. If I could just stare at a camera and just record a video for like half an hour, and then you guys are like, all right, I look at it as like a, almost like the reverse of a Chipotle. I hand you a burrito, right? Here's a 30-minute burrito. And you're like, all right, we're going to unwrap it. We're going to have a tortilla. We'll have some chicken. We'll sort out the guacamole. There's two kinds of salsa in here, sour cream. And then that's what gets kind of put out there. And then, you know, you can use it as you want. You're like, oh, how about some chicken with salsa? And it's just amazing what you guys can create. That's a good point. So if it is somebody who's just on, just solo, realize there is some work to get this going. And consistency is a huge piece of this, right? Like, if it is, even if you're showing up every other week, it's consistently showing up every other week to get off the ground.
Yes. And I think that's the piece, is get off the ground. Because the beauty of the community design is that once it's up and running, you've got people engaging, you've got people commenting, you have less you have to do all the time. You have to stick consistent with the schedule you created, if it's a couple short form pieces or a copy or whatever. Mm-hmm. But your members are going to start building up that extra engagement. And then you do what you do, but you don't have to constantly be doing more and more.
Yeah. And so how long do you guys recommend giving somebody, telling them to stick with something before you're like, maybe it's just not the right subject, or you're not engaged? Like 6 months, a year, you know, 2 years? Like, because I hate seeing people start it and then they jump to, oh, nobody was interested in that, and they go to something else. And it's like that Acres of Diamonds story. Like, hey, you were so close.
I think I would say, obviously, start with 3 months. I think Facebook ads, organic social, you need a month or two to kind of test copy, make sure the market wants it, get that aligned, because you're not going to get it right the first time. Your first 100 posts aren't going to, you know, be perfect. And I think past that 3 month, then you can make a distinction of, do I have any members? If I haven't sold anything, I'm not enjoying it, then maybe it's not a good fit for you and your schedule. It may not be the content, right? But I would say if somebody's really committed to this, I would go for a year, because then you'll really know. Is it the marketing that's not working? Is it the way the community is structured? Is it the way the courses are filmed? You have enough time to test all of the pieces of the puzzle, you know, of the burrito, to figure out what's missing or what needs to be fixed.
Right. And it's going to, in my experience, it's going to take a little bit of time too for your audience to get comfortable asking you the true questions they want to ask, not the surface level BS, but the ones that maybe they're scared to ask because they don't know if it's safe enough. But when you get those juicy nuggets, that's when I think the floodgates really open. How do you go about setting up pricing for this? So I've seen communities that are like everywhere. I saw something on Substack where it's like you get the weekly newsletter and email, and then you get access to the Q&A, which is 1 hour every month. You know, and it's just like first come, first serve. I've seen that actually two people have that. One was at $7 a month. And the downside there is there's so many people on that 1 hour Q&A, like the chance of me getting in there, regardless when I show up, is close to zero. I think there's like 14,000 people on a call. And then I've seen it also for $3.97 a month, right? And I was like, wow, that's interesting. Now, you go on the one that they have a 2 hour Q&A call. There was only maybe 80 people on that call. So the likelihood of getting your question answered is significantly higher, right? But I don't know the math of like 10,000 people at $7 a month is 70,000. This other person is 400 a month times 80. I don't know how much that is. Like, I don't know how to balance those, but what would you recommend for our listeners?
I think it always depends on what you're offering. So for instance, you're offering regular Q&A calls where you have to show up, you have to answer questions. I would say charge what you value it at, because somebody who's selling a $7 membership product, they are literally playing the volume game. They are playing get as many seats, you know, people in the seats, you know, and deliver some value, but it's not necessarily the same service that someone who's offering a $400 a month membership would pay. And obviously with healthcare practitioners, there's a level of trust you have to have with your audience for them to feel comfortable asking those questions, and sometimes pricing it higher, obviously not outside of what people are willing to pay, which you can only find out by testing the market. But that oftentimes makes people feel like the service is worth more. Right.
Okay. Yeah. And it actually works to also motivate you to pay attention and deliver. If you're thinking, oh, they only paid $3 a month or $10 a month, sometimes we slip into these human nature invades our mind and we make poor decisions sometimes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, one of the things I learned when I owning a gym was an aspect that I never thought would be highly valuable that turned out to be, and I'll get to how this is a question for you too, but you know, when you have a gym, you think, oh, everybody wants the equipment and they want the program and they want to show up and get coached. But in that, a lot of people want accountability. They want somebody to measure them, put them on a scale once a week, check their body fat once a month, all that stuff. And I was shocked. And that literally gives you the ability to charge sometimes double the amount for the exact same program. Just the only real difference is they're going to come in on Friday, they're going to step on a scale, and somebody's going to say, good job. Or what do we need to work on? Or holy shit, what happened, right? Like you might get all three. But I was shocked that you're not talking about a lot of cost to the business, right? There's already a scale there. You're just talking about somebody to just do check-ins and organizing it. And so it was one of those areas where I'm like shocked at how easy it was to charge significantly more money. In the world of communities and or courses, is there something that we don't realize has a very high perceived value to the client, and therefore we could charge more for it, or maybe say this is included if you sign up for the year in advance or something like that. That is not a ton of production, not a huge lift. There are a couple things you could recommend there.
Definitely follow-up sequences, and that's where using Go High Level or GHL comes into play, because we connect all of our clients' communities to a GHL platform so that you can send those accountability emails, but you don't have to sit there and write 100 of them. It goes out every week. You can have follow-up sequences and all of this so that they feel they're being held accountable. They know they have to, you know, get the work done. But you as the creator, you set it up once, you change it every once in a while just to keep things fresh, but it's automatic accountability.
Wow. And even if it's in a pre-recorded email sequence, that's good, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because I think the thing is they just want to feel like they're being remember, they want to know that somebody's checking in on them. So
now, as far as that in a community, like in some good Facebook groups I've been in, you know, they do like a most helpful member of the month and they, you know, recognize new people and do that. How about recognitions like that? Are those a big deal or best questions, stuff like that? Does that seem to help?
I think it does. I think it's an integrated feature in Facebook. I don't think it's quite yet integrated in the Go High Level communities. But you can always do posts like that. You just have to have somebody kind of tracking some of that, you know, in terms of the VA or, you know, the team, the marketing team. But I think calling people out for serving the community, calling people out for achieving a goal, even just putting up a Motivation Monday post, which is like, hey guys, it's Monday morning. What are we working on? And then, you know, at the end of Friday, hold people accountable. What did you guys get done? Share your wins. Like that simple sequence of two posts a week builds that sense of we're all in this together.
All right. So, you know, in a gym, one thing that really surprised me was like, there's certain things that you can charge a whole lot more money for. You assume it's program, equipment, facility, all that. But one thing that costs almost no money to the business that's really high perceived value is accountability, right? Every Friday, you just step on the scale, we write down your weight. Maybe we measure your body fat once a month. But that kind of feedback and that accountability, people are blown away with, right? And I was shocked at how much you can charge for that. What is there within the community idea and whatnot are there things that allow you to charge a whole lot more money that aren't that heavy of a lift that you go, hey, actually people really perceive this to be very valuable?
One thing I think is definitely the accountability piece. I think you can do something as simple as putting up a post Monday morning that is auto-generated through whatever software you're using that you say, hey guys, it's Monday morning. What are we working on this week? And then Friday, you hold people accountable. So if somebody comments on that thread, oh, I'm you know getting out for a walk every day this week, you check in with them through a private message or on the feed on Friday, hey, what did we get done this week? Did, you know, Alice, did you go for that walk this week? You know, and that holds your community accountable and gets more people the next week to engage.
Okay. Fantastic. And then what about recognition within these communities? So pulling out somebody's post or pulling out a feature or question they asked, are those worth doing? I mean, I've done it in Facebook groups, you know, that are pretty good about it. Welcome new members and stuff. I think that's baked into Facebook, but, you know, we have some of this ability within trust-driven care, our software, but what would you recommend people set up?
So I think obviously if you have somebody doing the marketing, then follow-up sequences, that's the word we would use. And it really allows stuff to be pre-programmed. So pre-generated emails, messages, newsletters, things of that nature that people can expect to show up in their inbox. They can expect the results, the messages, the indication. But it allows you to take somebody's response. So if somebody gives you, I had this great win using your system, you then can say, hey guys, let's celebrate Alice. She actually took 3 walks this week. And that builds that sense of, you know, your members are being elevated. So then that member feels more committed to being part of the community. It gets other people, oh, I want to be celebrated next week.
Right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, fantastic. So, and again, it goes back to something we covered early on. Once you build that, right, once you build that system for doing that, whether you have 10 members, 10,000 members, the amount of work is not that much different. I don't want it to sound like, oh, it's set it and forget it. I don't think there's any version of business that I know of that's like that. But there is build it and repeat it, which is easy to do with automation, you know, but you still have to go in and build the first one. So let's say somebody's treating patients and they're like, hey, over the next year, 2 years, my goal is to start a community. I'm really interested in talking to, you know, golfers who want to gain distance, right? Or eliminating back pain in ballroom dancers, or the woman I spoke of that's like prenatal, postpartum. That's what just drives me, gets me excited. I would talk about that all day if I could. I want to start a community about this, and I want to start in a way that will allow me to do it, meaning I got to charge money for it and I got to make some money. Because if I don't, then it becomes this hobby side project that's probably going to be distracting. But I want to make a decent amount of money at it. And I got a year or two, and I'm already treating patients. I already see some of these people coming in. Not everybody's one of those patients, but you know, some of them already. Can you lay out like a 1, 2, or 3 step plan for people to like, hey, just start doing this, then do this, then do this, and certainly talk about in there where does it make sense to like hire you guys? Because at some point, you're going to take that load off the shoulders, right?
So obviously, I think the first place to start is to know the mission of the community. So for instance, who do you want to help? What are you going to do to provide that service? And kind of what are the questions they're already asking you? Because if you have that information, a team like mine can come in and build out all of the content around the avatar using data and all of these other pieces that we use. But even
I'm sure it's like writer's block, right? Like you'll ask those people like, hey, what are your people asking about? We all go, I don't know, man. They just asked about everything. But if you just go through Facebook comments and questions, right, like it's pure gold.
And the piece that I think is important is that once you have that avatar and you have that, you know, who you're helping, why you're helping them, why you're in this, why you're committing to this community build for a year or two, that becomes the focus of the customer journey that you need to create or have someone like our team create. Once it's uploaded into the platform you're using, then it just builds on itself. But you need to have those core pieces in your mind so that you can explain it either to us or other marketing teams to get it created. Because if you're not clear on it, your customers who come in aren't going to be clear on it.
Right. So if I'm like, hey, it's for prenatal and postpartum, but also golf and, you know, dudes who are over 65, you're like, yeah, it's just not going to work. Like, no, it doesn't matter who you hire. It's just not going to flow. Right. All right. So number one is get clear on who you want to serve. And one thing I would tell people is like, I think in healthcare, I don't know if you see this with your clients, but in healthcare, I definitely see some people that like certain patients just fill your batteries up and certain ones just suck the energy out of you. And sometimes certain subjects or conditions, like I hate working on feet. I hate it. I have a friend, 80% of his patients are plantar fasciitis patients. They think he's a freaking godsend. He's a hero. Super excited about the feet. He would talk about feet at dinner. And I'm like, I want nothing to do with feet, you know? And he digs it. So I think that thing that identifying that avatar you're saying, but make sure it's something like as one of my mentors said, what if this is successful? Like, assume you're going to be successful. And what if you had 10,000 people asking you about foot problems, or 10,000 women saying, hey, I'm pregnant. How do I, is it okay if I exercise? Or 10,000 people saying, I just had a baby. What should I do next? Right? Like, if those questions annoy you or don't excite you, probably keep searching for your avatar.
I think the other thing I would say to somebody is you can have your day job, you can have your business, you can be have your practice. But if there's an audience that's similar, so for instance, you're using the same skill set, you're using the same training, but maybe it's not necessarily people who are going to be patients, that's a way to have that second project that's still bringing in revenue, still creating your vault of content. It's still delivering extra resources, you know, income for you, mm-hmm. but you get to do that thing you're excited about.
Yeah, I think there's some good examples for the listeners of what Lee's talking about. Like, there's a group called The Clinical Athlete, and he has his own practice like in Huntington Beach, but he teaches courses all across the nation on these principles, right? So in his practice, he's talking to people who are local people who are exercising and getting injured that don't have a medical background. But when he's teaching across the country, it's to medical providers that do have a medical background that are treating others. So he kind of built up both of those. The side project was education, clinicians, and the local project was treating people. So that's just an easy way to do it. But I think there are all those people that you know, have a side hustle that's wildly different than their normal day job too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so going back to that plan, so identify your avatar, what you want to talk about, and then, you know, getting it interesting. And then what would you say the second most important step people do is once they know who they want to go after and what they want to talk about?
Build the community. So either do it yourself or hire a marketer to do it for you, but you need a solid 100 or 200 posts in the community before you launch, so that when somebody walks in, just like a party, you'd want people to come into the party that's decorated. It's got the DJ there. It's got things happening. Oh. It's not just an empty room. So that's
interesting.
Really what we help people with.
So you want to have it preloaded with, I always heard this one, like when I was launching this podcast, somebody said, when you launch, you want to have 10 in the can or 10 already posted, so that if people go, I really like that, when they go back, you don't want it to be the only one. I never thought about that in the community. So you should have a bunch of posts just throughout that thing talking about these other ideas so that people feel reassured, essentially, right? It's like, yeah, like you said, not showing up to a party where there's no decorations out and the beer still in the case from the supermarket. Interesting.
And the other piece from there is once you've got the content, you want to, I would call it, preload the group with ideal clients. So for instance, if there's 10 or 15, like for the postpartum example you gave, maybe there's 10 or 15 women you've worked with over the last several years.
Yeah.
And they're always asking questions and they're always engaging with projects or local events you're doing. They're the people you send the link to first. You know, hey, Jessica, I just launched this community. I would love you to come in and see what you think and give me some feedback. So there's no sale, there's no pitch. Oftentimes you can give those people entry lifetime for free. So, you know, 5 or 10 people. But by them being ideal customers of yours, they're going to engage, they're going to comment, they're going to feel comfortable answering questions, showing up, being visible. And then once you do open the doors officially to everyone else, there's already women engaging or clients engaging. And there's a sense of, right, this is a party I want to be at.
Yeah, I see that in a group that I'm in, you know, or we have some ambassadors essentially. And like, say it's, I remember I shut off my phone last Friday at like 2 p.m. And I was like, oh, I'm going to spend time with my kids, blah, blah. When I went back online on like Saturday midday in the group, somebody had asked a question that I never saw. And there was already like two or three ambassadors like answering, oh, yeah, you do this and you do that. And I was like, mm-hmm. Praise the Lord, you know, like, because that person feels engaged, but it wasn't all on my shoulders. So I think that's a fantastic, fantastic idea as well, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so step one, figure out who the hell you want to talk to and what you want to talk to them about. That's important. And step two, build the community, I'll say infrastructure, which is making sure you have posts and videos and all that stuff. And then stage three, do your early invites to your true fans, right? The people that just think you're the greatest ever. That can also answer questions. So although your mother or grandmother may think that you're the smartest ever, I want to put people in there that can answer questions or been through that experience and kind of know it. And then after that, just invite, huh?
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
All right. Last piece. I know you guys do a lot of help with, like, as you say, what is it? You want your clients to be omnipresent. And actually, throw out the name of your business and how people can, like, the website, in case they're digging on this and they wanna get a hold of you guys.
Our website is channellightning.com. We will obviously give Dr. Josh a link. The best way to contact us is to get on a call with us so we can actually discuss the build for your business and how, if this is a good decision for you to make or not.
Right. And you'll be honest with people. If they're too rookie, you'll kindly let them know that, like, hey, you probably want to wait it out a little bit. Or because, you know, sometimes we get in the weeds and we go, yeah, I have, like, I can think of somebody. They're like, well, I'm thinking of starting a newsletter, but, you know, I just got to finish my next book. And they have 4 books published. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, you don't think you can finish a newsletter and you've published 4 books? I was like, any marketer in the world would be like jumping up and down saying, let me have you as a client, please. I beg you. Oh my God. Right. It was just funny, like the perception, right? Because we all get in the weeds on some stuff. But you were telling me you call it Channel Lightning because, explain the name, because I think it's great.
We typically work with YouTubers, content creators, coaches who have an audience, but they're not monetizing it. And obviously this works for anyone who's got a business. They've got people coming into their practice. But we channel the internet for them. So that's, we have this vision of, you know, the lightning coming down. It's going to strike repeatedly. And that's the people coming in and learning from your content.
That's fantastic. All right. So I can't remember what I was going to ask right before that. I was saying something about tell everybody how to get a hold of you and
omni-channel marketing.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. Omni-channel. So I'd heard that talk is spoken about, but what does that term mean? Just define it for us and then kind of how you guys help people do it.
So when I think of omnichannel marketing, the name that always comes to mind is Alex Ramosi. He's on every platform. He's got YouTube. He's got a podcast. He's here. He's there. He's at every event. That is being omnipresent in the marketing space.
No matter where you go, you can find him.
Exactly. And a lot of that can be done using paid ad traffic, multiple social media platforms, but you need to have somebody who can help you repurpose content, because there's no reason in this day and age with AI to have to do 15 posts a day. You just use AI software to kind of repurpose and give content a new life. And that's really what our team is good at. We can help you take content you've already produced. So if you've done in-person trainings, we can help you take that content and put it online. If you do, you know, YouTube videos, we can help you take that, put that into the community. If you don't have YouTube, we have some connections to help people get YouTube up and going. So we really have a resource. Either it's us or we know somebody who can help people kind of start building that omnipresent marketing strategy.
Fantastic. And that's one of the core services you guys offer, is make sure that your message, your face, your brand, is getting out to your avatar, right? Because, you know, talking about postpartum exercise to 65-year-old male golfers doesn't help build your community too well, right? But finding those people is going to be a whole lot easier, and a whole lot easier to build your community once you kind of connect those channels of people with the right solution.
And I think the other piece when talking about omnichannel marketing is omnichannel marketing is different for me than it is for you. If my content creators are only on YouTube, then I only need to market on YouTube. Sure. If I have people who are only using LinkedIn because they're professionals, then you only need to be on LinkedIn, and you can still be omnipresent on the platform if you're using multiple different tools and types of content, but you don't need to be Alex Ramosi.
Yeah. I mean, you can. Leader, I mean, you can help you get there.
Definitely.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, this has been great. Once again, share the website with people if they want to get a hold of you. And you said you'll set up a call and just kind of talk through things. What assets do they have? Maybe they're overlooking some, right? They're like, oh, I only have 642 YouTube videos of me doing exercise, but you may be sitting on some there and you could totally monetize it. I think that conversation's got to be eye-opening for people.
Definitely.
Have you had clients that started out going, oh, I don't have enough? And you're like, you got plenty here. We just need to kind of repackage it.
Well, I can tell you that was what set us onto this at first was like, we had tons of stuff we had sitting around. We had ideas and old handouts we hadn't finished. And it's like, oh, let's just take this and put it somewhere so people can use it. And that's what launched our community, which gave us this idea.
See, I want to come up with an app. I've said that the $1 million app would be an app that goes into like business owner and entrepreneurs Dropbox. It scans your Google Drive and it scans everything and says, hey, you actually have 14 great webinars here that people would pay money for. And you actually have this file of a 95% done handout on, you know, Google business marketing. And it just identifies where you don't need to reinvent the wheel and tells you like you have just money sitting here. You're not doing anything with, because
you have assets.
Yeah, exactly. Like, here's how much you value it. Yeah. So that would be a great tool. But short of that, a conversation with you guys can get us pretty close.
I hope so.
Yeah. Fantastic. All right. Well, I really appreciate the time, Lee and the whole team over there at Channel Lightning. I'm very excited. I hope some people listen to this. And if you are focused on that one niche, you know, like I met a provider the other day. All she works on is crazy. She works in competitive gymnastics, and her specialty is hand and wrist injuries for competitive feet. And they're almost all female gymnasts, right? I was like, oh, wow. But you think how many hyper-competitive gymnasts and their parents are looking for somebody to provide some direction on that? Oh, my God. You know, I think it's pure gold. So I really appreciate you being here and sharing this insight with us. On behalf of Coach Lee Kara over at Channel Lightning, this is Dr. Josh Satter saying, go out there, maximize your license, and live the life you dream of.
Thanks a lot for listening to Clinic Gym Radio. If you're looking for more information about me, about us, about our programs, then just head to clinicgymhybrid.com. Again, that's clinicgymhybrid.com. You can check us out there. We've got our accelerator program and a few other programs that will help you get up and running as quickly as possible and making more money while providing excellent active therapy to your patients.